I'm seeing him in that age. And it's by God's grace. And I'm not going to labor long because I'm yawning. I don't know about y'all, but I'm 62 years old, right? And I'm going to bed this time of night. You know what I mean? I don't know, you know, about y'all, but I seen a few people yawning and stuff. So I hope y'all just bear with me. I'm going to dive right into the 12th tradition, right? I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself so I can qualify first off. Like Helen said, I like to say I had a drug of choice for, you know, in the beginning I had a drug of choice. And in the end, it was like how much money I had. It became the choice, right? And I was thinking about that tonight when I was listening to the main speaker, you know, talk about, you know, how you graduate, you know. And I know that I was smoking weed like 1 week and with some guys I met, and they was shooting dope. And then within a month's time, I was shooting dope. And it was just that quick. It wasn't no, you know, slow, you know, tedious process for me, right? I went right into it. And I got rescued by Narcotics Anonymous. And it was in 89, I got married in 88. And I thought that this young lady could help me, that if I got married, I'd be responsible. And anyway, so things got to missing around the house, stereo equipment, you know, yeah, that kind of stuff. I always told her that it was getting fixed, you know what I mean? And then her wedding ring got missing, and she said, I was getting clean, right? And yeah. So she said, you better get some help. You know, I'm leaving. I said, well, I'm going to miss you. Right, and she rolled out. But before she left, she had an intervention because she was trying to help me. Right, she was trying to help me. She took me downtown to one of those treatment places, and they had me fill out this form. And it was about 30 questions. I don't know, you know, I was high. So, and when I finished, the guy said, "Yeah, you're an addict, right?" So I was in that nod. Right, it was like, yeah. So anyway, went to treatment. 5 treatments later. I surrendered to the program. That was in January 26, 1992, and I haven't found it necessary to use since then, right? And the step process for me started almost immediately. I mean, my sponsor at the time was one of those guys, because I don't know, some people pick sponsors. I chose this guy because he went to step meetings and stuff, and he sounded like he knew what he was talking about, right? You know, some people talk about jury. I wasn't into like who got the jury on, who driving the car. I mean, my life was at stake. And I told you, I mean, because I had been to, you know, like 5 treatment centers. I knew this, you know, that this was a serious problem I had. It wasn't no, you know, like, oh, I got a minor drug problem. I was like, this thing got me by the bizzle. Oh, and thanks for not cussing out. I wanted to congratulate her, though. She did, you know, a while ago, she went through her story, she was talking about cursing, and she didn't curse one time, and I was like, hey, that's growth there, you know, it's really growth. But I might cuss, though. But that's me, that ain't my high power, you know what I'm saying? So y'all can tell the difference, and if I say something that makes sense, it's my high power. But, you know, so what happened was I started, you know, my sponsor got me into, you know, service work, which is great, because... I think that's one of the cornerstones of recovery. It got me involved in the process, you know. And my first real commitment was I had 2 years clean, and I went to early service. Somebody mentioned I went to early service, and they drafted me into literature chair. I was in literature chair, and I didn't know. You know, they said, "Yeah, you want to be literature chair?" I said, "Yeah, that sounds good, right?" You know. And then they say, you know, after I volunteered, they say, yeah, okay, you come here next year, you got to pick the literature. By the way, it's a 2-year commitment. And I said, these addicts, this is some more crap, you know what I mean? Hey, 2 years. So I called my sponsor, right? I said, man, I said, them down there, the other place, they had me volunteer for this position, and it's 2 years, right? And he said, and I was like, he said, you're not going to be right here for the next 2 years, right? And I was like, but they could have told me. I mean, you know, you could tell somebody the qualifications of a position, right? But he said, fool, you're the one that'll be clean for 2 years if you make it through this commitment. And then he started to make me realize, right, how narrow-minded I was, you know, how I'm always, through my addiction, had always looked for a payoff. You know, it was always something like that, to have something for something. I mean, you don't, even if I loaned you $2, you owe me $4 back. You know what I mean? Because I would always ask for that $2. Even after you gave it to me, I still wanted two more. But what I started to come to realize in this process was the spiritual payoff that we get in this process, man, that money don't buy. I mean, it's like when you see a newcomer, and I've shared at meetings, and 4 years later you see somebody, and they say, man, I remember you shared, and I really like what you shared, right? And it helped me stay clean. And it gives you that little crazy feeling when your hair stand up on your neck or something. When you see somebody that you shared with or stayed on the phone with or went around their house or whatever you do, somebody in the fellowship, like you say, somebody's family died and we support them. I mean, that kind of thing helps people that there's no monetary value. And like they say, you know, it's priceless. So I'm in meetings, and this is the importance of doing step work too, why you doing service work. Because I've been to some service meetings that were off the chain. And I don't know about in your areas, but they can be off the chain. So, okay, here's my experience. And this is how the traditions work for me, because usually I have to break a tradition in order to get to learn it.
Yeah.
And so, okay, I'm in one of my business meetings, and it's not even my home group, but I just attended this particular business. And me and this guy got to arguing, right? I mean, it got heated. It got real stupid. I mean, I'm talking about like you in a crack house or in the shooting gallery, right? You know what I mean? Like real crazy, right? And we said, well, we're going outside. Let's take this outside. And this is an NA meeting, you know what I mean? We said, look, well, let's just take this outside. So, you know, people came and broke it all up. And I was glad because he was bigger than me for real, right? And so I went home, man. I called my sponsor, and he told me, you know, yeah, you know, you need to do some work and stuff like that. But this is what got me, man. And I mean, it brought tears to my eyes, right? Because the guy called me later on and apologized to me. OMG. I mean, it made me mad because I should have been the one that was the bigger person, right? Because I had more clean time than him. But he called me up and he apologized, right? He said, man, I shouldn't have, you know, I went off because he was kind of provoking me and blah, blah, blah. And then I realized how much work I needed to do on myself and do, you know, even in the traditions, a great from keep me from doing homicide, but I needed to, you know, help myself, you know, not be so judgmental, be so quick to fly off the handle and stuff like that, which has also helped me in my, you know, in my career and things like that, you know, because stuff that I do, you know, you're in meetings and stuff, and I can have a tendency to go off the handle, like I went on my boss last week, right? And she said, you're not going to raise your voice at me. I said, but you can't keep talking to me like this. You know, even though she was my boss, you know, but I had to, because you had to start creating boundaries. You had to teach people how to treat you. And she thinks because she's my boss, she could just talk to me any kind of way, right? And I just tell her, I said, you know, you can't talk to me either. And I had to raise my voice because she was telling me, now get back to work. Like I was on the plantation, right? I was like, no, you know what I mean? So anyway. But we sit there, and we had a civil discussion, right? And this is how, you know, if you say, when you're wrong, promptly admit it. And I said, I apologize for raising my voice. I said, but you can't address me like that. You know, I said, it's in your tone. I mean, it wasn't about what she said, but she could have said, now you can go back to work. But don't get back to work, like, nigga. You know what I mean? But she was black. You know, she was black. I'm just saying. But when she said it, I took it like that, right?
Wow.
So, anyway. 12th tradition, anonymity. You know, I've been seeing a guy, I don't know if y'all been seeing this guy on TV that talks about he's an addict, but he ain't an addict. You can, yeah, you give me $30,000 and I'm going to help you exercise your way back to recovery. You know, and I was saying to myself, when I see that on TV, right, I said this guy had to have gone to a 12-step program initially, and then he was able to make a business out of recovery. I'm from the Richmond, Virginia area now. And I've been through this in the D.C. area, right, where they have an issue with having these little cards that you pass out. You know, like if you got a drug problem, call this number. And I don't know if they use it. It's always been controversy about that because we're supposed to be about attraction rather than promotion in this fellowship. But I'm of the mindset, and I'm not Smith and Barney, I'm just saying that if you save a life with that card, you know, and you're not, you know, you just pass in person the card, but you don't have to tell the person that you're an addict. You just be somebody that knows where the help is. And, you know, and we do that all the time when we have community outreach. We have booths that we set up, and, you know, people sit behind and staff, I want to say man, staff those booths. And, you know, so that person behind the booth had to also understand that he's breaking his or her anonymity. If you're behind staff in the booth and you're passing out literature and it's not an NA-related function, but you are in the community trying to do NA service work, then it's a thing about you make a personal choice, you know, to break your anonymity. The principle of humility, it's in the 12th tradition, right? Because what I've come to understand is that once you've acquired some time in this process, we acquire things in this process as well. I mean, we get things, and I'm not saying that I'm not promoting things, but we do. I mean, you know, you get a girlfriend or two or boyfriend. You get a car, you know what I mean? You get the house, you get your family back. And all those things, if not put in check, will cause you to think that you've arrived. And I'm talking about myself. Now, I don't know if anybody else can relate, maybe, you know. And if you don't put that ego in check, then you're bound to get the big head. Because, I mean, it just happens. I mean, you can see it all around you. I mean, even in your job or your neighborhood. It's just that in this fellowship, we can't afford that. Because one thing is that we're not going to be a servant like we should, and we talk about like the 12th step. You know, because once you think you've arrived, then what I found is that my meeting attendance slowed down. I said, well, I don't need to go to as many meetings because I got things. I'm traveling, I'm going around the country, I'm doing things, you know what I mean? And I'm not to say that you're supposed to be responsible in your life as far as with your kids and stuff, but if I'm not giving back to this program, you know, that's so responsible for rescuing me, for making it possible for me to continue to be an employable person, for me to, you know, be a responsible father, then I'm not really showing gratitude. And people talk about gratitude all the time, but they say gratitude shows when we care and share with others the NA way. It's not about me saying that I'm grateful. It's about me showing up. It's about me being in meetings. It's about me not being on TV talking about, here's the NA message, you know what I mean? And I think that takes a level of humility also, because I've been on my job, right? And I know there have been people on my job who come to me, not because they know I'm in the fellowship, right? But they see that spirit in me that I'm always there for, to give them a kind word. And I'm not going to say I don't. Because sometimes I do. I'm judgmental, you know. But a lot of times I try to practice all these principles in all my affairs, you know, and that I'm not one to break my anonymity easily, even though a few years ago I was here at the convention speaking to that. You know, I was wondering why they got me on at 10:30 at night at my age, right? I was like, see, and... It was because I'm tired of it. I've been up all night last night, and I was thinking, right, let's just go back in. You know, I mean, been around for 23 years, right? When I first came in, I could stay up all night at a convention. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't go to sleep. I would go to the marathon meeting. I'd be at the dance. I'd be, and I'm wondering why y'all ain't at the dance tonight, because it's kind of funny. Like, I was like, this room kind of packed. And there's a dance going on. There's a show, you know what I mean? Comedy, whatever. And I was like, these are the people that's hardcore, you know, they really want to hear something good about something they can carry back to their home group or to their area, you know. And the only message I have is the one that they told me when I first got here, you know what I'm saying? Meeting makers make it, get a sponsor, go to meetings, pray, try to get, you know, try to get in service when you can. And Sponsee brother back there, he's the one responsible for this with the bald head guy back there laughing, right? And when he told me, right, when he called me and told me that I was going to be doing the 12th tradition, right, I was like, please. I was like, why can't I do, you know, relationships at 5 o'clock, you know what I mean? Or, you know, at 1 o'clock in the evening, why can't I do the first step, you know what I'm saying? You know, I said, like, why the 12th tradition, right? But I said, maybe he saw something in me, or they know something more than I know about myself, you know. But it's funny because this is like my third or fourth time speaking at a convention, and it's always on a tradition or something, right? And I was like, why can't I get one of them nice, juicy subjects where the room is all packed and, you know, standing room only and stuff, right? And I can, you know, really just expound on my experiences in Narcotics Anonymous, right? But it doesn't happen that way. So, if you're new in this process, right, you know, they say meet and make or make it. Little meetings, little recovery. A lot of meetings, a lot of recovery, you know. Promises freedom, you know, from active addiction. Don't use. Go home, pray, try to help somebody. And most importantly, you know, maintain some humility in your life, you know, because for me, what has happened is that it has shaped me to be a person who, because they say if you don't be humble, you'll be humiliated in this process. And like I said, when getting in a fight in a meeting is not, you know, showing a level of humility. And I'm saying when you got 2 or 3 years clean and you're talking about fighting or acting up or doing something, you know, that's not conducive to recovery process, then you're really hurting the program. And I've seen people do that in the meeting. Matter of fact, just a while ago, I just almost saw a fight in the main speaker's meeting, like somebody, yeah, and it was crazy, right? I was like, but what it shows me, see, and I'm saying, I don't be judgmental, people, because people are where they are in this process, you know what I mean? And I've seen fights in meetings, I've seen people do a lot of crazy stuff in meetings, but that's not to say that shows a lack of recovery, you know what I mean? But for a newcomer, it could be confusing because it'd be like, you know, like if you go to your first meeting and you see a fight, you might say, hey, I might as well go on back on the strip. You know what I mean? If they're doing that in the meeting. So anyway, let's just be mindful of that anyway. I'm glad you guys stayed awake. I'm Sam C. I'm a Nike, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for the share.